You are Locked On Raiders, your daily Oakland Raiders podcast. Just part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into another episode of the Locked On Raiders podcast. It's Crossover Wednesday, baby. That's right, Crossover Wednesday. We start to turn the page off the Green Bay Packers loss and look ahead to the next game on the schedule, and that is the Houston Texans. So on today's show, got a real good show for you. Had a real good conversation. A lot of fun on the conversation with Locked On Texans host Cody Davis. You can find him on Twitter at CodyDavis_24. And then Uncle Tone, you can find him on Twitter at SomeSportsGuy. Real fun conversation. You're going to hear that on today's show in segment number 3 and segment number 2. No calls today off the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line because the conversation, no joke, was like 30-something minutes. And we already know that 23 to 28 minutes is how long the show is supposed to be in its entirety. So I'm going to have that 30-minute conversation in segment number 2 and 3. And here in segment number 1, give you the news and the notes of the day. And it's really not a whole lot of news and notes to talk about, except for the fact that on Tuesday, Hall of Fame Raider defensive back, Hall of Fame Raider man in general, Hall of Fame Raider used to be coach, a man who bled silver and black, Willie Brown, died at the age of 78. I first heard of the news about old man Willie Brown dying because I was on Twitter, as always. I was doing my radio show on ESPN Central Texas, and I saw a tweet from Everson Walls that said Willie Brown had passed away. And, of course, Willie Brown was a hell of a player, hell of a Hall of Famer, a longtime Raider. He started out with the Broncos, but still, man, it was just one of those things that just kind of hit you where it hurts. Even though a guy like me, I never got to see Willie Brown play. Like, I'm not going to even try to front and try to lie to you and say that I saw him play. But I do realize that he was a great player. He played with the Broncos from 63 to 66 and the Raiders from 67 to 78. He was a 3-time Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl 11 as a player and 15 and 18 as a coach. Played in 2 Super Bowls in his career, losing the first one in his first season with the Raiders and then secured the second one and came away with the iconic interception that will be forever remembered in NFL and in Raiders history as well. Just an absolute awesome play, and the play-by-play call by Billy King was amazing. Matter of fact, let's go ahead and relive it right now. Fran targeting, dropping back to pass. Here is the play that Willie Brown took it to the house and helped secure the Raiders' victory in Super Bowl 11.
And he looks and throws, intercepted by the Oakland Raiders. Willie Brown at the 30, 40, 50, he's going all the way. Old man Willie, touchdown Raiders.
Great call right there from the late, great Billy King. Obviously the voice of the Raiders before Greg Papa was the voice of the Raiders, before Brent Musburger was the voice of the Raiders. The great Billy King, love hearing his old calls. Again, never really got to see his calls either as a young dude, but still love hearing his old calls. And that one right there was great. Old man Willie taking it to the house, helping the Raiders secure their very first Super Bowl victory. That was great. And I'll tell you again, like I said, I never got to see him play, but what was always so memorable for me was a guy that, now that I work at ESPN Central Texas and I've been to multiple drafts, is seeing Willie Brown in person when he'd be up on stage in the second round ready to announce the Raiders draft pick. And look, he's been doing that for years, but once I started covering the NFL draft for ESPN Central Texas, I actually got to see him. I went to Chicago and saw him. I went to Philly and saw him. I went to Arlington and saw him. Last year in Nashville, it was Charles Woodson who did the second round draft pick, which actually he did. Yeah, he did the second round draft pick. It was Trayvon Mullen. Charles Woodson did that and kind of gave a homage to old man Willie Brown. But here is, I want to play it because I think it's very fitting. The last time old man Willie Brown announced the Raiders second round draft pick, it was in 2018, Arlington, Texas, and he announced the drafting of defensive tackle PJ Hall out of Sam Houston State.
Thank you very much. Oh, listen up. Listen up. Mother's Day is in 3 weeks, guys. 3 weeks, Mother's Day. Not this Sunday, not the following Sunday, but the next Sunday is Mother's Day. All right, you guys, remember that. You know, hey, Raider Nation, Chucky is back. We're ready to rock and roll again. And for the America, you think the Dallas is an America team? No. The Raiders are the world team. Anyway, you go. It's the Raiders. Raiders. With this 57th pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Oakland Raiders select P.J. Hall, defensive tackle, Sam Houston State. Go Raiders.
You heard that wow in there. I think everybody was surprised by that second round draft pick of PJ Hall. But either way, that's not what I'm here to talk about. I'm here to talk about old man Willie, who made that announcement. Always show love to the mothers before Mother's Day, because the draft always pops up before Mother's Day. And so always make sure he showed that love. And Charles Woodson did that last year in Nashville. So that tradition will go on and on, no matter who announces that number two overall pick, or that number two, that second round draft pick, which I'm thinking it makes sense for Charles Woodson to keep doing it, you know, from one number 24 to the next number 24, right? I would have no problem with that at all. So rest in peace to old man Willie Brown. Obviously, he was a guy that was very much loved by the Oakland Raiders organization. I know Mark Davis said he was a close friend, just like Cliff Branch was. It's another tough story to write. And, you know, the story will pop out about Willie Brown pretty soon. But, yeah, never like to see anybody or hear about anybody that's passing along. And obviously a guy that was so iconic like Willie Brown is to the Raiders. So, yeah, rest in peace to Willie Brown. Also in the news on Tuesday, the Raiders signed defensive end Kasim Edebali. He's been in the league 6 years. He has 8 career sacks. Again, 6 years in the league, 8 career sacks. All 8 sacks he got with the Saints from 2014 to 2016. 2015 is the year he had 5 sacks, so that was his most productive year. 2017, he played with the Broncos, Lions, Rams, Saints with 0 sacks and only 4 combined games. 2018, he played 1 game with the Bengals and resulted in 0 sacks. And if he ever gets on the field in Oakland, in my opinion, he'll probably result in 0 sacks. Well, you know, I mean, it's just what it is. And by the way, he's 30 years old as well. So, again, not a big deal. I just think he's a guy that's holding a place right now. I'm not really sure what the Raiders saw in him. But defensive end Kasim Edebali signed with the Raiders, been in the league 6 years, and has 8 career sacks. Also, one more piece of news that has nothing to do with the Raiders, but has to do with the AFC West. Wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders and a 2020 fifth-round draft pick left Denver and was traded to the 49ers for a third-round pick and a fourth-round pick in 2020. So Denver, who clearly is waving the white flag in the AFC West right now, saying, hey, you know what, under the first year under Vic Fangio, we're not going to be able to figure this thing out. They're already starting to unload some of their goods. So Emmanuel Sanders, who is coming off an Achilles tear in, 2018, but it looks like he's kind of back to not maybe 100%, but he's close. He is on his way to San Francisco, and in return, the Denver Broncos receive a third and a fourth round pick in 2020. And like I said, Emmanuel Sanders goes to the 49ers. Who knows who else they'll ship out before the October 29th trade deadline, but definitely a team to pay attention to, along with the Falcons, along with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and even maybe the Vikings. The Vikings may have a couple players, even though they're still in contention, the Vikings have a couple players that they may be willing to unload as far as salary dump goes, because they are really up against it as far as the salary cap goes. So kind of pay attention to those teams right there. They may be sellers sooner rather than later, and the Raiders are still apparently looking to be buyers. Again, I talked about it on Tuesday's show, and Ngakoue would be a guy that I'd be very intrigued by. Who knows if the Raiders pull the trigger on that, but that would be a great pickup. I don't know what to give up for him. I had someone ask me the other day, hey, what would you give up for him, though? And that's a good question, because Jacksonville's not going to let him walk out the door. You saw what they got for Jalen Ramsey. They got 2 first-round draft picks and a fourth-round draft pick. They're not just going to let real good talent walk out the door. But, boy, if there's a guy out there that the Raiders could look at, it would be Ngakoue. I know a lot of people said Leonard Williams in New York, and that's a possibility as well. I'm not too sure what I'd give up on him either. So that's another team to pay attention to, the Jets. They may be ready to sell off some of their players on their roster as well, and especially since the Jets have Quinnen Williams as well. He may be available. But I guess if it was going to be like a top two list for me, it'd be Ngakoue from Jacksonville, and it'd be Leonard Williams from New York. Those would be the two guys that I would actually look for the Raiders trying to make a move for at this stage in the game. I don't know how much I give up for Leonard Williams, but I would probably give up a lot for Ngakoue, because he's a guy that has production and he's a guy that's still young, and the Raiders could really build that defense around him. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. The trade deadline is not till the 29th, so there's plenty of time for a lot of moving and shaking. Coming up in segment number 2 and 3. Going to be talking crossover edition, the Raiders versus the Texans. I'll be talking to the host of the Locked On Texans, Cody Davis, at CodyDavis_24 on Twitter, and also Uncle Tone, and you can find him on Twitter, @SomeSportsGuy. That's coming up in the next segment and segment number 3 of the Locked On Raiders podcast. But before I get into that, you know I got to tell you about Blue Chew. What is Blue Chew? It is a chewable that can help you increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. That's right, fellas. Your ears just perked up, right? BlueChew.com is where you need to go to. It is the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredient as Viagra and Cialis, so you know it's going to work, right? You can take it anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they're going to work up to twice as fast as a pill. You can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. And look, this is not just for guys who can't perform. It's for guys who want to extra function, perform a little bit better. A guy that wants to go 1, 2, 3, 4 rounds, not just the one hitter quitter. You know what I'm saying? Wants to be the guy that's going to be in there for the long haul. Blue Chew can help you do that. Be the guy that you were when you were like 21, 22. You know, that young stud. Blue Chew is prescribed online. It ships straight to your door in a discreet package. No in-person doctor's visit. No waiting in the pharmacy. Best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships directly, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. And right now, got a special deal for all Locked On Raider podcast listeners. You can go to BlueChew.com and get your first shipment for free when you use the special promo code Locked On. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code Locked On to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are, segment number 2 of today's Locked On Raiders podcast on this crossover Wednesday. So it's time to get into the crossover edition of the podcast as I talk to host of Locked On Texans, Cody Davis, at Cody Davis underscore 24 on Twitter, and also Uncle Tone. You can find him on Twitter at Some Sports Guy. Here is part 1 of our conversation talking all things Texans and Raiders right here on the Locked On Raiders podcast.
And guys, as promised, Locked Over Crossover Wednesday here with Locked On Texans, and we have your boy Q Myers. I just love saying they were Locked On Raiders. What's going on, Q?
Man, I'm feeling really good, man. I'm excited to be talking to you guys. It's another week, another game. Houston Texans, Oakland Raiders in Houston. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to be a lot of fun to talk about, man. And look, hey, the Texans got a new member of the team, a member that used to be a member of the Raiders. So, yeah, I'm sure this will be a fun crossover edition.
Yeah, most definitely. We can't wait to talk about Conley because from people who are in Houston and haven't had a chance to watch many Oakland games, we definitely have to get into what type of player we're actually getting. Now, last year when he was on the field, he really kind of had a good year, decent year. 3 interceptions, 1 touchdowns, was it around 11 or 12 pass deflections. So he's a really promising player, 6 foot, ran a 4.4, but a lot of people may not actually know what kind of guy they're getting. Can you give us some insight on that?
Yeah, no, I can. I'll tell you right now, first and foremost, I was not a big fan of Gerrion Conley when the Raiders drafted him. Number 24 overall in 2017 in Philadelphia. I was standing at the foot of the Rocky Steps when they picked him, and I thought that was a bad pick only because he had that rape allegation behind his name, and I thought that's a bad look to go ahead and pick a guy in the first round that's got that on him. And, you know, his rookie year, 2017, he had shin splints, or else he had some kind of other injury. Like, he disputed the injuries that he had with the general manager of the team and only played in 2 games in 2017. 2018, the year that you're talking about right now, he bounced back, had a good season. Like you mentioned, those 3 interceptions. I think he had like 15 passes defensed, and that's good and all, but he's not a good tackler. He's awful. I mean, he takes terrible angles. He's a guy that I just have not been a fan of. So I can give you a description of who he is and what he is in my eyes, and I know a lot of people always think that I'm a hater on Gerrion Conley, but I just don't think that he's that guy. You know what I mean? And I know that Romeo Crennel in Houston runs a hell of a defensive system, and I'm sure that the scheme that he runs in Houston, which is more man-to-man than most teams in the league play, I think that, the Texans run the fourth most. I think that they'll fit his abilities better. But if you want to see a guy come up and make a tackle, it's not going to be Gerrion Conley. He's more one of those guys that wants to cover, wants to try to make a play on the ball, but he's not that good at it in the air all the time, you know. And again, maybe him getting more comfortable with the scheme and something that he's more familiar with, maybe that'll help him out, but he has not lived up to who he was supposed to be when he was drafted in the first round of 2017. So he could be a good talent. A lot of Raider fans are a little disappointed that he's gone, but I think that it's good for both parties. The Raiders needed to move on from him, and he needed to get a fresh start.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned the schematics of what we do here in Houston and that defense with Crennel. I think that maybe, you know, of course, alongside with the injury bug that bit him, which is the main reason why he's here in Houston now, is you take a look at that and that the fact that he, you know, He's better as a man cornerback. There are two games that stuck out to me. That's the game against Tyreek Hill where he held Tyreek to one catch of 13 yards last year in week 13. And then the following week held A.B., who was once a former Raider, held him to five catches, 35 yards. So he has that potential. And let's be honest, Q, he's coming to a team that needed like water, fish with water, needed a cornerback with everything that's been going on.
Yeah, I mean, again, with the Texans plagued with as many injuries as they have, and look, I talk to John McClain from the Houston Chronicle every single week. Every single Friday, I talk to him on my radio show on ESPN Central Texas, and he told me from the beginning of the season, the biggest issues for Houston are the offensive line and the secondary. Well, the offensive line got hooked up when they got went and made the move for Laremy Tunsil, and that's starting to slowly come around. I know Titus Howard is out now only because he has an injury. He should be back, but the secondary is still an issue. Jonathan Joseph, he's getting a little bit longer in the tooth, plus he's banged up, and, you know, there's holes there. So, yeah, Houston needs a guy like Gerrion Conley, especially if they can say, hey, just go back to doing what you do. And this is the one thing I will say about the Raiders. I always thought if you're going to have a player with talent, you do what they do best. You know what I mean? If you're a coach, you change your coaching philosophy to fit your players' best skill set. And for some reason, Paul Gunther, the defensive coordinator for the Raiders, did not want to do that. So, you know, Gerrion Conley was never really kind of comfortable with what he was supposed to be doing. He had his moments. In 2018, like you mentioned, he was actually pretty good. And Derek Ansley, he was the defensive coordinator. He was the defensive backs coach in 2018. He went to Tennessee to become, I believe, the defensive coordinator. You know, and so he had a really good year under Ansley, and in 2019, he just kind of has been abused. And the last game that the Raiders played on Sunday against the Packers, I mean, he got torched. He looked terrible. I saw the back of his jersey. I saw 21 Conley all day long. It was just bad. He had a lot of bad angles. Again, he's not a guy who's going to come up and make a tackle. That's for sure. He's one of those guys, like I said, wants to be a cover corner, but doesn't really want anything to do with tackling. So if a guy is running at him, don't expect Gerrion Conley to come up and make a strong tackle, because that's just not in his DNA. He's not that dude. So maybe the change of scenery, maybe the change of scheme back to something he's more comfortable with will do him a lot of good. And then the Texans got them a real deal player, because I do believe he's a good corner. He just never was a good corner in Oakland.
Hey, Q, we're going to stay with the Texans secondary, because me and John, we have gone back and forth a lot this season before the injuries, of course. You take out that game against the New Orleans Saints. I actually thought that the Houston Texans secondary was trending in the right direction. John, on the other hand, always was kind of so-so about it. So what have you seen in the Texans secondary before all the injuries? Did you think that this was a team that was trending in the right direction, or do you agree with John where it's like, well, there was still a couple of holes and things just got worse once the injuries started?
Yeah, I'm with John. I think that the secondary was a weak link. You know, I think losing the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, I think that was a big deal. I really do. He was a dude. You know, he's a playmaker. He's always around the ball. He makes things happen at the back end at that safety position. And again, Jonathan Joseph is really good. And I remember when the Texans got him as a free agent, that was a big get. But, I mean, that was how many years ago? You know what I mean? Like, he's getting older now, and, well, guys are just getting faster, better, stronger. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, you can't be great forever. And so Jonathan Joseph has been tailing off for a while. I remember when they had Kareem Jackson. I remember when they had, who was old boy who went to Jacksonville? He was a good dude. I liked him, but he went to Jacksonville for a big.
Jackson?
No, Kareem Jackson went to Denver as a safety, but who was the one who went to Jacksonville? And he got a big payday, and he kind of came out of nowhere. Oh, man.
Bouye.
Yes, A.J. Bouye. Sorry. Sorry I forgot about that. That's a good dude right there. Talk to him at the Super Bowl in Houston. I think he's a real good dude. Talk to both those guys, Bouye and Jackson. And I thought that they were at their peak at that time, and what, the Super Bowl was in Houston a few years ago. And I just don't feel like they've addressed that position correctly since those guys, you know, went their separate directions. I know Jackson was a corner for a while in 2018, kind of shifted to safety, and now he's in Denver. And then Bouye obviously went and got that big payday in Jacksonville. So I feel like that's kind of the weakest link. And again, Gerrion Conley's only 24 years old. So if Romeo Crennel and that defensive unit for the Texans can figure out how to get him in that scheme and get him going in the right direction, he could be a hell of a player. I mean, again, he's so young that he has a chance to turn things around and really get his career on track. But think about this, guys. 29 times he's been targeted in 2019, right? 21 times there's been completions, going for 389 yards, 5 touchdowns. He had 1 interception, passer rating 139.7.
Well, I mean,
again, but that's just in Oakland. Look, and I'm not trying to dog on him too much. I'm just saying that's in Oakland. That's running a scheme that he's not 100% comfortable with, but 389 yards, 5 TDs, only 1 interception, and 139.7 rating. That's not very good. And I know the Raiders are coming to town this week. Please believe Derek Carr knows every weakness that Gerrion Conley has.
Well, you know, the one bright spot that I see in Gerrion is that it's the fact that he's young. Because, I mean, 9 times out of 10, this is Jonathan Joseph's last year.
Yeah.
And the way I'm looking at it is, if you bring in a young corner like Gerrion, you're talking about a guy who, yes, he has had problems in the past, but he still has time to develop. Not only that, he is a first-round pick, yeah. You know, and even though he didn't live up to the hype, there's still time for him to develop and turn into at least a solid cornerback. He might not be one of the top corners in the game, but maybe he just needed a new change of scenery in order to get to that next level.
Yeah, no, that's very possible. And again, I'm not hating on the guy and his ability. I just never liked him as a pick, and I try to convince myself. And I've always said that if I got to convince myself to like you as a player, you're probably not the guy for me. You know what I mean? So I tried to root for him because he was wearing the silver and black, and I thought, okay, he's a first-round pick. He's going to come around eventually. But just it was one thing after the other. Like I said, back in his rookie year, it was, okay, he's got shin splints. Oh, no, he's got vitamin D deficiency. Like, I've never even heard that about an NFL player. You know, you got vitamin D deficiency. And then, you know, he was out for most of the season. And then 2018, he looked pretty good. He got benched for a minute, but then he came back and he looked pretty good. In 2019, he's just been there. You know, he's been there. He started every game. He's been okay. But, again, man, when you're letting 21 passes be completed out of 29 for almost 400 yards and 5 TDs, that's a problem. And if you go back and look at Green Bay's game, and look, it's Aaron Rodgers. That's a Hall of Famer. He's got a gold jacket waiting for him in Canton, Ohio. But if you go back and look at that, man, I mean, Gerrion Conley was getting torched. So I'm actually surprised, to be 100% honest with you guys, I'm surprised that the Raiders were able to get a third-round pick for him from Houston. But Bill O'Brien's calling the shots there, so I'm okay with that.
Was Gerrion your cousin that didn't allow you to come to the draft night or something? What's going on?
I was there with draft night.
What did he do to you?
I just, hey, man, I was never a fan of his, and when he had the allegations, I mean, look, let's put it like this, man. Would you guys, as Houston Texans guys, if the Texans were up on the board in the first round, they went and grabbed a guy that had rape allegations on his name at that time, and you had no idea if it was going to be cleared or not, would you think that that's a good pick?
Oh, absolutely not.
That was my point. I was like, that's a bad decision. I'm not picking him in the first round. Maybe the third round. Maybe the fourth round. And if he's already gone, so be it. You know, let that be someone else's issue. Now, he got cleared, to his credit. He got cleared. And so that was cool. So I thought, okay, maybe they knew what they were doing. Maybe this is a good move after all. But it just never shook out, man. Again, I tried really hard to root for him. I did. Everyone who listens to the Locked On Raiders podcast, they always know, like, oh, That's the guy that Q don't like, Gerrion Conley. He's out of there. And even when he had a good game against the Colts, someone hit me up and was like, hey, can you give him props? I said, yep, I sure will. I'll give him props because he had a good game. But that was it. And I gave you the stats. I can't make that up. I didn't do that. That's him.
Well, you know, you mentioned having to be – he's somebody that has to be someone else's problem. Now, I think you also know about another guy that has to be somebody else's problem until he's nobody else's problem because he's not in the league. And I want to look at Antonio Brown and just – I really, really watched Hard Knocks this year. I watch Hard Knocks every year.
Okay.
And it seemed like HBO wanted to paint him in a different space, area, light, however they wanted to don him, and then – more and more each week we would get, no, this is the real Antonio Brown. This is the real Antonio Brown. And then we know how he with the IG, with the Instagram video, which is really dope. Like the guy who put it together, kudos to him. He got his bag and some free pub. But, you know, everything that came with Antonio Brown, and then he gets released, goes to Oakland, not Oakland, rather, New
Patriots,
England.
Yeah.
And then gets released there. Now Williams is out at receiver, and it feels like this team was built up around the fact that we were going to have Antonio Brown, who's not there. This is a tough Oakland team at 3-3. I mean, they've won some games that I didn't think they were going to win. Is he really missed on the field?
On the field, absolutely. I mean, he's missed because, like you said, the team, it looked like it was built around Antonio Brown, and I thought – because of the way that the Raiders went out and won in week one, against the Denver Broncos. I thought, okay, you know what? John Gruden was smart. He didn't build the team around AB because he didn't know. He wasn't sure if the guy was going to be there. But then you saw the problems that they had week two. You saw the problems that they had week three against Kansas City and Minnesota, and you realize, wow, what's this team's identity? You know, who's this guy's number one dude? And then I realized then that, you know what? John Gruden, he actually did build this team around AB and thought he was going to be the number one guy. And then John Gruden came out and said, it's hard when you lose your number one wide receiver, you know, to get things going together. So they did do that. But to their credit, to the team's credit, they've been able to turn things around where they have other weapons. They've had guys that have stepped up where you didn't think that they were going to do it. You know, they got Darren Waller, who was a guy, you talked about Hard Knocks. He was featured in Hard Knocks as the dude who was suspended for a year when he was a member of the Baltimore Ravens because of drugs. He's really turned his life around. Since then, he's got a 3-year contract extension. He leads the Raiders in pass catching and receiving and yards. He got his first 2 touchdowns last week against Green Bay. I mean, he's coming along in a major way. John Gruden said he's not a tight end. He's just a hell of an athlete. You know what I mean? And he is. He's an absolute stud. So that's one guy that stepped up. Foster Moreau, the 4th-round draft pick tight end out of LSU, he's all of a sudden stepped up. You know, Tyrell Williams is out, like you mentioned. He's got plantar fasciitis, and who knows when he's going to come back. He's got 4 touchdowns on the season, and it's like, okay, well, how are you going to replace him? Now you got Hunter Renfro, you know, the guy out of Clemson. He's not going to catch a lot of passes, but he'll catch that one important one. And hell, Deshaun Watson, as the quarterback of the Texans, he knows Hunter Renfro better than anybody. You know, he threw the pass to Hunter Renfro that won them a national championship against Alabama. So he knows that dude may not catch 9 or 10 passes a game. He might not be your number one wide receiver, but he's going to catch that important one. He's going to extend it. 3rd and 8, he gets 9 yards. If you need a touchdown, he'll probably be that guy. You know what I mean? Like, Hunter Renfro is a hell of a player. And so they've been finding ways to adapt as far as the wide receivers go. Not only that, they brought in Keelan Doss again, undrafted free agent. They brought him back. He's a player that's starting to step up. They've gone and got some guys that nobody thought about that were real good players, like Trevor Davis. They gave up a 6th-round draft pick for Trevor Davis from Green Bay. You know what I mean? Like, it's not really a big-time player. It's not a guy that you're thinking, oh, man, got to watch out for him. He's slowly making plays. Zay Jones, they gave a 5th-round draft pick to Buffalo. He hasn't got into a game yet, but he's there. You know what I mean? It's like, so they're bringing guys that are just hungry and don't necessarily have a real big name. It's more like wide receiver by committee. They have some guys that are hungry to make plays and are willing to go out there and learn and do what they do, not necessarily have a big game. But the biggest feature that they have is Josh Jacobs, the running back out of Alabama, number 24 overall pick. Yeah, he's an absolute stud. Everything goes through him. As the run game goes, the Raiders go. If the run game is cooking, every game that they've won this year, he's been cooking. Even last week against Green Bay, he was cooking and they lost. But the Raiders go as Josh Jacobs goes. He sets up everything else to work. So if you get Josh Jacobs 24, 25 touches a game, there's a good chance that the Raiders are going to win that game. And that's what they're starting to develop. They're starting to figure out how to do that. So they don't have that number one guy. They really don't. It's kind of like weapon by committee. But they're finding out ways to scheme these guys up to put them in good position to be successful. I mean, hell, they're running 3 tight ends out there where most teams in the league don't do that. They're running fullbacks out there where most teams in the league don't do that. So they're finding ways to get it done. It's not sexy. It's not the big Kansas City Chiefs wide open offense type style, but it's enough to get it done.
Yeah, and Keelan Doss was a guy that was also a Hard Knocks favorite. I actually found myself trying really hard to like this Oakland Raider Hard Knocks. I just thought it was very bland. And I think going into it, this is just really quick, but I think going into it, everybody saw John Gruden and maybe we expected to see like the Chucky doll featured a lot, or it really was kind of, you know, outside of the Antonio Brown, it was very bland. So
I'll tell Keelan you right
Doss
now.
Was a favorite of all, but and I'm glad he's back. I think he deserved the roster spot initially, but whenever you need that, all those opportunities, they come knocking.
All right, so that was part one of our conversation. Coming up on the flip side, coming up in segment number 3 of today's Locked On Raiders podcast, you're going to hear part 2 of our conversation between myself and host of Locked On Texans, Cody Davis, at CodyDavis_24, and also Uncle Tone, at Some Sports Guy on Twitter, talking all things Raiders, talking all things Texans. They get a little cocky on me. They get a little, you know, whatever, but it's all good. It's a lot of love. It's a lot of fun conversation. You could probably learn some about the Texans. That's coming up in segment number 3 of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Before I get into that, though, I got to tell you about MyBookie. MyBookie is fast, it's easy, and they pay when you win, and that's all that matters, right? Let's face it, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. Definitely would not be telling you guys to bet with them if they just weren't the best. I mean, as simple as that. So do the smart thing. If you're betting on football this season, do it with MyBookie. And did you know that you could bet on games after the kickoff? So, you know, by halftime of the game on Sunday between the Raiders and the Texans, if you think that, well, you know what, the Raiders are going to win this game, you can go ahead and flip around and bet on the Raiders. Or if you think the Texans are going to win, go on and flip over on the Texans. For some reason, they allow you to do that. But that's good. That puts money in your pocket. If you're the kind of person that likes to bet a little and win a lot, you could try a parlay. And if all your picks come through, you're going to multiply your winnings. It's simple as that. Join now. MyBookie will double your first deposit when you go to mybookie.ag today. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Again, mybookie.ag today. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer, and MyBookie will double your first deposit. You play, you win, you get paid with MyBookie. Segment number 3 is coming up next.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team. Every day.
All right, welcome back to the crossover edition here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We're talking Locked On Texans. We're talking Locked On Raiders. And to help me do that, I got the host of Locked On Texans, Cody Davis, at CodyDavis_24 on Twitter. And also Uncle Tone. You can find him on Twitter at Some Sports Guy. I like that. But we've been talking a lot about the Raiders. Let's talk about the Texans side of things. You know, the Texans have been playing really well. They took that L against the Colts. But before that, man, the two games before that, I thought that they're playing better than any other team in the league. They knocked off the Kansas City Chiefs. Deshaun Watson was looking really good, hadn't been sacked in a couple games. I mean, the offensive line looked like it's starting to come around, and I was putting Deshaun Watson in the MVP category. Like, he's a guy that deserves that consideration. And again, looking at, you know, Laremy Tunsil on the offensive line, he's starting to gel with the rest of the guys. I know Titus Howard went out, but overall, man, what are your thoughts about the Texans and their offense? How it's projecting the last 2-3 weeks? Again, taking that loss to the Colts, but overall, just what are your thoughts on the Texans' offense, how it's coming into this week against the Raiders?
I think going into this week, the Texans' offense is going to make sure that we stay consistent with what we were doing in the previous couple games against Atlanta and the Chiefs, and that's just make sure we're being creative. You know, we can't go into this team and go against this team Sunday, even though they're the Oakland Raiders and they're not, you know, one of the top teams in the league. I'll say this over and over again. This is a tough team. Yeah, the losses that may look very big on paper, and it is, but they have fight on their team. So I'm not going to go into the Raiders and think to myself, this is a pushover. And on top of that, this is a team here in Houston that has been known to play down to their competition. We cannot do that and consider ourselves threats to the AFC throne against the Patriots, who, by the way, just dominated on Monday night. So this is a team that has to come in prepared. We have to get back to being creative. We are without Will Fuller, but we have Kenny Stills back, who has really put on the show. Last game against the Colts, 4 catches over 100 yards, so he can ball. But one thing about our offense, Q, is, you know, as we can mention how the Raiders go where Josh Jacobs go, the Texans go wherever the run game take them, and that's a combination between Carlos Hyde, who had a big game against Kansas City, Duke Johnson, who runs the ball. Whenever he gets those opportunities, he runs the ball effective. And, of course, you know, our quarterback, our primetime guy, Deshaun Watson, and how he runs the ball. So we average a really good amount, over 120 per game. And without that run game to balance it out, I don't think our offense would be as stellar as it is. We're getting a lot of yards from the ground, and that has opened up the pass game.
Why did the run game struggle so much against the Colts?
Well, for one, let's say one thing, and I think everybody deserves to understand that. You know, they deserve to understand that Bill and what Brian Gain did in the draft with going and getting Titus Howard is proven itself. Like, the draft pick of Titus Howard and Max Sharpen has really proven, okay, maybe Brian Gain was a little better at drafting than free agency. We were without Titus Howard.
Right.
Which we had to shift in Rod Johnson. He had a long day up until he got hurt. And when we had to do that, that just threw our chemistry off. Our best couple of weeks, we had Titus Howard on tackle, Tunsil at tackle, Max Sharpen at the guard with Fulton, and Nick Martin has came alive. He's played much better. So this is these are guys that are affecting the run game. Titus Howard being out really hurt us, and it didn't make any no better that Johnson was getting whooped like that.
And to piggyback off what John said, I mean, he mentioned that the Houston Texans goals as the run game goes, but in my eyes, I think it's the complete opposite. I believe that it's that offensive line, because when we had that offensive line healthy, you saw what the run game was able to do. You saw what Deshaun Watson was able to do.
Yeah.
This is a guy who went out against Atlanta and threw for what was it, 400 and some yards? You saw what he was able to do. You saw what Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson was able to do against the Kansas City Chiefs. Once those injuries started taking a hit, and once Titus Howard, our first-round draft pick, went out, that's when things started going downhill for the Houston Texans.
Now, let me ask you this question. Does Titus Howard, is he going to be available for this week, or is he still out a couple weeks?
No, he's still out. He's going to be out a couple weeks. There's no timetable on his return yet.
Well, in that case, I mean, that's going to be a problem for the Texans moving forward, because the Raiders' run defense is really good. Now, their pass defense against the Packers gave up 425 yards. So, I mean, that wasn't very good. But, and that was with Gerrion Conley, but that's a whole nother subject. But the run, I can't help myself, man. I'm sorry. I can't. Gerrion Conley going to meet me in public one day, and he's going to be like, you know what, Q, I can't stand you. But anyway, that's a whole nother conversation. But the Raiders' run defense is really, really good. So how, if it goes as the offensive line and the run game goes, and the Raiders aren't really giving up a lot of yards on the ground, they average giving up less than 100 yards a game. How are the Houston Texans going to be able to take advantage if that element of their game is not there?
We're going to have to attack you guys secondary, because y'all secondary is like ranked in the bottom half of the league when it comes to receiving yards.
Yes.
So, you know, you got a guy like Deshaun Watson. You saw, even though he didn't have that, oh my God, this is an MVP caliber game on Sunday against the Colts, it was still a solid game. You guys are going to have to figure out how to stop DeAndre Hopkins,
right?
Who is one of, if not the best receiver in the league. And if you guys focus too much on DeAndre Hopkins, that leaves Kenny Stills open. Even though we lost the game, both of those guys recorded over 100 receiving yards on Sunday. And I believe that is a way, and I believe that is the best way for the Texans to beat you guys on Sunday.
What I want to say is, just to add to that, I've noticed a trend with this Oakland Raider team. Now, the first game of the year, you guys opened up against a Bronco team who we now know is a terrible team.
Yeah, they're sellers. They're sellers.
The trade, the trash are terrible. But you guys opened up against the Broncos, and they had Joe Flacco, and Nick Fant didn't do much, the tight end Nick Fant.
Right.
And then you played the Vikings before Kirk Cousins just said, wait a minute, I'm Mr. All Guaranteed for a reason. Let me go out and ball. And Kyle Rudolph didn't do much. However, in three games against formidable, or if not better, exceptional quarterbacks, you guys went up against Travis Kelce, Ebron, and Jimmy Graham. And that comes along with Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, and Jacoby Brissett. You guys had a difficult time containing those tight ends. So I want to correlate to the fact that when you didn't play anybody at quarterback, the tight ends was in check. When you play some quarterback talent, which we have here in Houston with Watson, it's going to be a problem. And we have Fields and Atkins, who right now combined for almost 400 yards and 5 touchdowns. We can really go after the secondary in the red zone, which is where we've been good at outside of last game.
Yeah, no, that's all valid. That's all valid. I'll be the first to tell you that the Raiders' defense is very suspect, especially in the middle of the field. That's where Aaron Rodgers really he lived his life, you know, in the middle of the field against the Raiders on Sunday. And, you know, Jacoby Brissett, he didn't do a whole lot, but I understand where you're going with that. And the tight ends have normally been a killer against the Raiders. And the Chiefs, I mean, they're a whole different ball game. They're a whole different animal. Against the Vikings, I think it was more the run game really destroyed the Raiders, and then everything else opened up after that, because Dalvin Cook was the only running back as of right now that's gone over 100 yards against the Raiders so far this season. So yeah, I mean, I'm 100% with you on that. And Deshaun Watson is a tough cat, man. I really, really respect the hell out of that dude. I really root for him. I mean, I root for him every single week except for this one, obviously. But I really think that that's a hell of a guy. I've liked him ever since Clemson. Been a big fan of his just his character, just the guy he is, and the way he goes out there and balls. And that dude, when the lights come on and they're bright, the dude goes out and gets after it, man. So I definitely respect him. Know he's going to have him a hell of a game, and if he don't, he's going to go down swinging. I mean, that's just in his personality. But again, man, I feel like if you make the game one-dimensional, and I feel like the Raiders have the ability to make it one-dimensional where they slow down the run. I like what Duke Johnson has done. You know, Duke Johnson was hungry. He wanted to get out of Cleveland and get some kind of burn, you know, be the guy to get some playing time. And the Texans made a move for him. And, I mean, he's been making things happen. And then Carlos Hyde, he's been playing with an attitude too. I mean, look how many teams he's been on since he's been in the league. Kind of been disrespected. The Duke can go. Both those guys can go. But, again, that, in my opinion, is the strength of the Raiders' defense is stopping the run. So if that element is taken away, then all of a sudden you make Deshaun Watson one-dimensional, which – it's not a bad thing because he could play. I mean, he'll throw the ball 50 times in a game and not have any problem with it. The Raiders can't do that. In my opinion, if the Raiders throw the ball 50 times, they're losing that game. They don't have that quarterback play like that. Derek Carr is not that guy. They need to go ahead and have that run game and be able to be solid with the run game and be very strong with the run game to be able to be effective with Derek Carr's arm. So that's where the Texans, you know, they can thrive off of Deshaun Watson, the guy he is. But I still think it's going to be a very tough game if the Raiders can go ahead and live up to what they do, which is stop the run.
Yeah, before we kind of move out of here, score prediction for Sunday's game.
Oh, man. I hate score predictions because I just never know. And I'm always off. I'm always off on these. But, man, let's see. The Raiders. Look, okay, let me put this little extra little side nugget. When the Raiders went to Houston, I think 8 years ago, it was 8 years ago, Al Davis had passed on Saturday before the game, and the Raiders won the game with 10 men on the field. Not Joe Flacco. What's his name? Matt Schaub threw an interception to Michael Huff in the end zone when he really probably could have ran it in, but he didn't. I felt like that was Al Davis on the field being the 11th guy and being that extra defender. Well, Willie Brown, old man Willie, just passed on Tuesday, and so I feel like maybe he'll be that extra guy, that extra defensive back on the field for the Raiders on Sunday. So I'm going to say that the Raiders are not going to have a two-game losing streak. I feel like they're going to find a way to squeak out a victory over the Texans in Houston. I know that's going to be a tough out. I'm going to say 27-24, the Raiders come out on top. I know that's going to be a tough one. I know the Texans have a good defense, at least up front on the defensive line. See what Gerrion Conley does. I think the Raiders go after him quite a bit if he's on the field, but we'll see. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
I got 26-13 Houston.
Woo! Whoa, you ain't giving the Raiders nothing.
No, I just don't.
What? Okay, how are the Raiders? Oh, wait, how do the Texans defend the tight end? Because the Raiders have two tight ends, Darren Waller and Foster Moreau. And actually, on top of that, they even have Derek Carrier, who's pretty good. He had some big plays against Green Bay. How are the Texans matching up with the tight ends?
I think we're going to play them at the line, knock them off a little bit. We have a big corner in Lonnie Johnson, so I wouldn't be okay. surprised if we just see different schemes thrown at the Raiders to kind of knock. Because right now, without Waller, you don't have a receiving game at all, and so to knock him off and throw him a little bit off his route, I think that's how they'll defend it.
Okay, well, the Raiders did have 9 different guys catch passes last week against the Packers, but I understand what you're saying about the no passing game. You ain't got no big names. All right, so. So what else? Okay, what else? Is that the final prediction on the game?
Well, you know, I gotta do my prediction.
Yeah, come on. I mean,
I'm going to give y'all a little bit of a fight. I think it's going to be a close game. I mean, you guys have your own personal issues going on over there, and we got issues as well with all of the injuries that we have.
Right, but right.
We do have a guy by the name of Deshaun Watson, yeah. And I do believe that DeAndre Hopkins is really about to have a big game. I'm going to go with 27-24 Houston.
Okay. All right. Look, we got the same number, just different teams. That'll work. I like that. That 27-13 or whatever, I think that's too far-fetched. But you could be right. You could be absolutely right. Are you guys going to be around the game, man? You guys going to be at NRG Stadium on Sunday? Where are you guys going to be at?
Actually, this will be – I won't be there. I actually will be out of town for a brief moment. But I will be checking in, keeping up with our inside sources to kind of see what's going on with the team during the game and so on and so forth. I was at the Atlanta game. The Atlanta game was really, really fun. Atlanta fan got beat up, so that was always kind of good. And then that same week, we had Aaron Freeman on of the Locked On Falcons, so that was fun as well, just seeing them lose in that fashion. I hate Atlanta. I really do.
Well, they stink too, and they're awful. You know what I mean? Like, they got one win on the season, and now they're selling all their players off.
It's only because 28-3. That's the only reason.
I heard that. So, okay, well, that's what's up, man. Hey, any last partying things that you want to say before we go? This has been a lot of fun so far. I mean, we could talk all night, I'm sure. We can go back and forth, having a good time. But anything else that you guys want to touch on before we roll?
Man, whenever we come to Waco, just have us on the show.
Oh, that's nothing, man. Hey, look, when I come to Houston, I'll be there on Sunday, man. I know you're going to be out of town, but I'll be there. You want an inside source on what's going on, I'll be there, man. You holler at your boy.
We're going to do that. Your boy Q.
Yes, sir. Sounds good.
So there it is. There it was, Raider Nation. That's the conversation I had with the host of Locked On Texans, Cody Davis, and Uncle Tone. You can find Cody Davis on Twitter at @CodyDavis_24. And Uncle Tone, you can find him on Twitter at @SomeSportsGuy, talking all things Texans. But that was a nice little fun conversation. And you heard me right there, right? Tell him, come on, man. Come on. I'll be in Houston. Come meet me in H-Town. We'll go hang out. But, you know, they got other things to do. So, I mean, it happens. I ain't mad at them. And they sounded pretty confident about what the Texans are going to do. But, you know, I think it's going to be a really close game. We'll definitely talk about it later on in the week. But hopefully you appreciated that conversation, that crossover edition. I always enjoy it. I know a lot of people have called on the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. I definitely got to get those calls rolled out. I will definitely do that tomorrow on Thursday show, Friday. I'm thinking Thursday. I'm already trying to move ahead. I'm so excited about the game. I'm trying to fast forward to Sunday already. But I got my credential approved for the weekend, so we'll get some good sound bites from the locker room following the game. Excited about being at the game on Sunday. But we'll talk more about it on Thursday's game. Plus, get your calls off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Until then, Raider Nation, as always, just win, baby.